You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, blessed listeners here on Radio Maria Canada. It is Tuesday and it's March the 13th, and I hope that this broadcast finds you well, and I can't thank you enough for tuning in to Radio Maria on your computers or on your Radio Maria box. It's so wonderful to be with you this afternoon. I'm your host, Christina Doyle, and it is our program called The Father's Quilt from 1 o'clock to 1:30 every Tuesday and Friday. Here we are here. It is a live prayer call-in line, and how wonderful to have such an opportunity for all our listeners who speak English, who have a faith in God, or whose faith is being tested or challenged or lack of. Here's an opportunity for you to call in and be with us and talk with us, and we can share your prayer requests and encourage you with the love of Jesus through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Mother Mary. And you can call us at 416-245-1534. And if you would prefer, you'd like to email us instead, you can always email us at any time with any of your concerns or what's on your mind you want to share with us at quilt, Q-U-I-L-T, at radiomaria.ca. Well, my friends, we are embarking on our fifth Sunday of Lent, and I pray that your journey has been one of an enlightenment and one of reconciling to ourselves to say, you know, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm going to try my best to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, maybe even hopefully through the sacrament of reconciliation, to get to church or through a parish priest, however you can, is to come to grips with our own imperfections, that this is a time of renewal, a time of great hope and of great joy. So let's begin with our Hail Mary, and then we're going to follow with an opening prayer as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God, Heavenly Father, look upon me and hear my prayer. During this holy season of Lent, by the good works you inspire, help me to discipline my body and to be renewed in spirit. Without you, I can do nothing. By your Spirit, help me to know what is right and to be eager in doing your will. Teach me to find new life through penance. Keep me from sin and help me live by your commandment of love. God of love, bring me back to you. Send your Spirit to make me strong in faith and active in good works. May my acts of penance bring me your forgiveness. Open my heart to your love. and prepare me for the coming feast of the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Excuse me, everyone. You know what that saying is? I've got a frog in my throat. So here we are, and we're talking about the story of the raising of Lazarus. You know, it's not. It's just so much more than an account of a miracle, right? The raising and unbinding of Lazarus sheds light on how God wants to heal the dead areas in our lives and free us from whatever sins and burdens and wounds that prevent us from living life to the fullest. That's you and me. There's so many things I need to work on myself. One of them is worry. I do often worry, and I know that's not good, and I'm not perfect, and I wrestle with that. And sometimes I worry about the children and making sure they're eating all right, make sure they're safe when they're driving in the car, and I worry about so many things, my elderly mother, and I can tell you, I could list you 10 things right off the top and tell you all the things I do worry about. But I do, and I wrestle with it like you do, to bring it to God, to bring it to our Lord, and have our Blessed Mother intercede for us. You know, when Jesus arrived at the tomb, he had the stone rolled away and calls Lazarus to come out. And Lazarus emerges. Although he's still bound in the burial clothes, we are often like Lazarus. We have areas in our lives that need to be enlivened again by Christ. And we may be bound either by our own sins or by the hurts that others have inflicted on us. And we may carry great burdens or worries or dysfunctional patterns of relating to others that bind us down and keep us from peace and happiness. Well, Jesus wants to free us from those wounds. He wants us, like Lazarus, to be unbound. You know, and then, of course, the story of the, you know, the woman who was about to be stoned. You know, do you remember that particular story? And, you know, it doesn't tell us in James about what her financial status was of this woman. We don't know what she looked like. We didn't know what her family background was. But the scribes and the Pharisees at that time just wanted to entrap Jesus. That was their whole idea. And at that time, the scribes were known as law-abiding people. These were people that were lawyers and very prosperous people. And the Pharisees, of course, well, they saw Jesus as a threat to the law and order. And of course, and he challenges them by, you know, bringing this adulterous woman into their presence. And so they threw an unmarried, or she might have been betrothed, woman before him. And they said that they caught her in the act of adultery and they seized her. And we don't know who the woman is, but we do know this. She's you and us. We have all been caught in our sins. And by the same token, James said that if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. And that places us all on the same moral level. We have all sinned. Jesus knew this was a setup, right? In John 8, it opens up with everyone wanting to stone the woman. And it ends up with a group wanting to stone Jesus. And so when people's hypocrisy is exposed, the typical instinct is to kill the person who did the exposing. And it's hypocritical for sinners to want to harm other sinners because of sin. But according to Jesus, only the guiltless could rightfully carry out such a righteous sentence of justice. In the mind of God, righteousness and justice are grounded in grace. And whenever grace is removed, we are left with the heartless hypocrisy of Pharisaism. Jesus didn't overturn the law. He reestablished righteousness on the base of grace. He essentially said to the woman, don't sin like this again. Not because she might get stoned, but because grace rescued her. And she now had a new identity as a beautifully loved child. And Jesus is the prophet who is greater than Moses. Remember, sin is heinous, whether it's adultery, slander, gossip, abusive words, lying. And in Galatians 6, it says, God doesn't ignore it because sin harms the people he created. Yet a person who brings correction to those who hurt others ought to do it with no hint of self-righteousness in their hearts, knowing that they are equally fallen and capable of much worse. So the story doesn't condemn the sinner, but it calls us, the sinner, to change, to be saved. And Jesus wanted to show those scribes and Pharisees that they were sinners and to amend their ways, right? And so in the raising of our friend Lazarus from the dead, you know, you also may be thinking, you know, has anyone here that's listening ever experienced a miracle? Have you ever had something happen to you where it's just unheard of? You know, you beat the odds. Something happened and you know it's from the Holy Spirit. Well, do call us. We would love to hear what that wonderful miracle is, because today, my dear friends, the world is hungry, and we need hope. In Ezekiel 37, thus says the Lord, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them. I will put my spirit in you that you may live. I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised and I will do it, says the Lord. So, you know, this passage in Ezekiel is a very famous vision of the dry bones in the first half of chapter 37. And the prophet is shown a very dry valley of bones and is commanded to prophesy. But when he does, the bones come together and are covered with flesh. So in Ezekiel, the whom the Spirit of the Lord addresses as Son of Man, is told that this scene represents the resurrection of Israel, which is now in exile in Babylon. And the Son of Man who speaks and causes Israel to rise from exile points liturgically to the Son of Man who will speak and cause Lazarus to rise. Ezekiel paves the way for the extension of the covenant to the Gentiles. Isn't that beautiful? It's so important for us to have courage during this time, because we are being tested often, and even more so during this most precious and holy season of Lent. And, you know, we all need to surrender our lives to Jesus and to trust in him for him to be able to bring us to new life. It's so important. We often think, well, if I give my little sins and all these little things I like doing, and I know they're not good for me, well, what's in it for me? And God is saying to us, have courage, have faith, trust in me, come to me, you know, and he will help us with all of that. He can bring a total healing in all of us. He wants to better ourselves, to step forward, as he says to each of us, come out. Even if your situation seems hopeless, and my gosh, a hopeless situation of Lazarus was really hopeless, but nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. That's what we need to stress. Think back in your life and choose a moment when one of your sins, a sin that you may have that has made you feel spiritually dead and you felt entombed like Lazarus, and feel the way that sin binds you and entraps you in a way that it just prevents you from being the whole and holy person God has created you to be. And take a few moments and consider that sin and all the ways it has hindered your life. And you know what? It's called a domino effect. You know, what you think is harming you, well, you're not alone. It's affected other people as well. So all come together in the suffering of this sin. So it's so important for us to take a moment and consider that sin and ask God to forgive us if it's a sin that I've committed. And if it's a sin that's been committed against you, then my dear listeners, ask God to forgive that person and help you let it go. Imagine Jesus is calling your name and saying to you, Mary, what he said to Lazarus, come out. Hear him say that to you till that you are untied and you are free. This week, my dear listeners, as we are approaching the Passion of Jesus, let's ask Jesus to release us, release you from any sin or hurt that might still be binding you. And for some of us, this binding has been with us for years. It's almost become, I hate to say, but a part of us. It's like each branch on a tree. It's just growing together, and that binding becomes thicker and thicker and harder to break. But nothing can break it, not you by your own strength, but through the strength of Jesus, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, and asking, Blessed Mother, please, Divine Mother of God, intercede for me. Break this chain around me that I've carried for so many years, whether I'm angry at a relative, whether the relative has been horrible to me, whether they have hurt me, or someone has abused me, or a crime that I did that I wish I totally regret with all my heart, or the things I should have done and I should have said and I could have done and I didn't. This is the time for all of us to have a new beginning, a new soul in our life, a new joy. And you can have that joy, my dear friends. There is nothing more refreshing than the water from Jesus, the holy water of Jesus, the clean water of the purification of our Lord. And if you can possibly get to confession this week. I know in our church we're going to have it very soon this week on the Wednesday. And it's so important, the parish priest isn't there to judge you. He is there to help you and support you and guide you, and he cares for you. He cares for all his parishioners, and he cares for you, dear listener, no matter where you are. And if you feel that you've wronged someone, then go to that someone and know that you're not alone when you do bring that guilt or that shame, and you say, you know, I know I've been really, really impatient with you. I just haven't been myself with you. I'm sorry I've said some of the words I've said to you, but please, I'm asking your forgiveness. And ask their forgiveness and then go to Jesus and ask Jesus to forgive you, and he will forgive you. Release that sin and hurt that might be binding you, and therefore do consider the sacrament of reconciliation for forgiveness and for the grace to be unbound, right? And you may think, oh, well, what kind of, well, I haven't done anything bad, you know, maybe I'm not a bad person, I haven't done any of those things, I haven't lied, I haven't stealed, I haven't broken any major crimes in the world, I'm a pretty good person. But you know what? We all fall short of that perfection. We all fall short. We need to realize that we are not free completely until we come to Jesus. We are not free. And we can be free from feeling guilty, by feeling any kind of those hurts that we've been carrying for so long. Jesus will help you, my dear friend. Jesus will help you. You know, when you think back on the raising of Lazarus, when Mary and Martha were waiting for him and they had sent word, you know, please come, your best friend is dying. You know, you have to come. And of course, you know, Jesus knew, right? And he knew that Lazarus had died, right? He knew that. And it was a very critical time for Mary and Martha to exercise faith in the love and power of our Lord. And even while the body of Lazarus was still in the grave, Jesus talked with both Martha and Mary about their faith while Lazarus was still dead. And that was when faith was most difficult and when it was most necessary. And so it is with us. Someday the Bible promises us the Lord Jesus will come again for his own. You are his own. I am his own. We want to be his own. And at that time, the dead in Christ will return with him. And we shall be joined with our Lord and our saved loved ones in the air. The resurrection is just as certain as that of Lazarus. Indeed, it is more for certain that we have the account of raising of Lazarus, the resurrection of our Lord. These are the times when faith is most required and when our faith is forced to deepen, but it is in the process that God is glorified. Lazarus was dead, and it was the sovereign will of God, consistent with the love of God. Our Lord was glorified by the death of Lazarus, because he waited, right? He came several days later, and it provided the opportunity for him to demonstrate his power. And it also gave those whom he loved the opportunity to exercise their faith. It was God's time. It was no mistake. It was for God's glory, and the Bible tells us that it was for our good and the good of the family. We do not fully understand why or how this is so, and how even more than Mary or Martha even understood what our Lord was doing. But we do know that it was not enough for them to believe that God could have cured Lazarus from his illness. God was glorified by the demonstration of his power over death and by the faith of those who placed their trust in him. Right? We must have faith, not by sight, but by faith. We must walk. And as we stand, as it were, before the grave, it is a time when we must believe that we find comfort in these difficult times. And if we would experience his presence and his power, any more than Mary and Martha, that those dark hours do come to all of us for a deeper and a fuller trust in the Savior. The Lord Jesus is never more worthy of our trust than he is at this moment. He not only raised Lazarus from the grave, my friends, but he himself died for our sins, and he rose from the dead triumphant and able to raise all men from the grave. Unfortunately, not all who witnessed to raising of Lazarus from the grave came to faith in the Lord Jesus, right? And we've read in the text that from that point on, the religious leaders of the nation planned to put Jesus to death. It's totally inconsistent with the goodness and power of God. And so we have to place our trust in our Lord Jesus so that even in the death of our loved ones, we may glorify God. And that's what Jesus wants, us to believe and to have trust. Our Lord's power over death was vitally important, and the raising of Lazarus was to serve as proof. Our Lord's claim to be the resurrection and the life, the one who would give life to all who would believe in him, even though he were to die. Jesus claimed to have power over death itself, so that none of those who believe in him will be subject to the power of death. I think, my dear friends, as we are slowly getting near to the end of our beautiful Lenten journey, I want you to have a time where you can sit quietly and reflect on all of this beautiful journey called Lent, and think, what does God want from you? What do you want to change? How have you begun to start that wonderful joy and miracle and that wonderful work that only God can do? We have to trust Him. In John chapter 5, verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that his testimony to me is true. You sent messengers to John, and he testified to the truth. Not that I accept such human testimony, but I say these things so that you may be saved. Thank you. And you were willing to believe, but I have a testimony greater than John's. And so, my dear friends, do refer to John. My Bible page is a little ripped here. It's John chapter 6, verse 30 and onwards, and you will absolutely be totally encouraged. So let's have a final prayer before we go, and wish to thank all my listeners. Again, we are a live prayer call-in line. Do call us once in a while if you wish. Remember, you're never alone, and we too love Jesus as much as you do. And we care about you, dear listeners. We care about you very much, that you are strengthened in your love for Jesus, that you feel whole again, that you can believe and let go and be a transforming, wonderful witness to Jesus. So let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, like Martha, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world, but sometimes I find it hard to see a way to change. Help me to trust more fully in your desire to free me and to give me a new, restored life in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and I look forward to talking to you on Friday. God bless you all.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. Single.